It's time for Let's Talk on WPPA, AM 1360, A106 FM, and on the web at WPPARadio.com. Stories making news, special guest interviews, your phone calls, and more. The views expressed on Let's Talk are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WPPA. Now, here's your host, Jay-Z.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to it. It's another edition of Let's Talk. It is a Friday morning, hour number one, as we get started this morning. And I want to remind you, we've got a guest coming up in mere moments. We'll introduce him to our listeners out there. And don't forget, coming up in our 11 o'clock hour, going to turn our attention to sports. High school football gets underway next Friday, so we're going to have our panel in talking a little bit about that. Some Phillies news and some other stuff as well coming up in our 11 o'clock hour, so keep that in mind. But right now, we are pleased to be joined in studio by Andy Wall-Young, Pottsville City Council member. Andy, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing well. You reached out quite some time to get on the program, and we finally got things hooked up. So welcome. You're on council now, but going to be running for mayor, right?
Correct, sir.
All right, so my question is, what makes you decide to go from councilman to mayor?
I have a long history of leadership in the community amongst myself and other family members, and after I saw the opportunity open up for the position, I felt it was the right time to step up and be the leader.
Sounds and interesting, and I always say this, and I'm not dissing any mayor out there by any means, but I always thought, you know, when you're on council, you vote, you get, you know, more things done as maybe compared to the mayor. So that's why I'm asking, like, why, you know, the switch from council to mayor?
A mayor is a voting member of the council still.
Right.
So that's, you know, different towns do have different policies there. But as far as our city goes, I am a voting member still if I was as mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's just to kind of bring everyone together is really the reason that it would be such an important switch, to be able to navigate both council and public and kind of bring everyone back to the table.
So you've been on council for a while now. Like you said, you're going to toss your hat into the – see if you can win the mayor's race. What are some things that you're looking at, say, that you can maybe improve that you – so far right now you're not happy with, you want to improve here in the city?
Yeah, so definitely business relationships with the right people into the right roles is definitely an important one. We need to continue what we're doing now, which is allowing people that have the right background to be a part of the process and have their voice heard to the top. And that goes from our board members to anybody that we're bringing to the table to appoint, as well as working with community members that already have things set up. So, for example, Schuylkill Community Action, great organization that has lots of things to help with people in town that are suffering from poverty or mm-hmm. homelessness. And, you know, there are already things in place that we could be having those people be brought to table and building those relationships further. So that's something that I'm looking forward to continuing that we're already starting to do now.
You know, and the homeless thing was interesting because that even gets play on the county commissioner's meeting, too. Mm-hmm. It gets brought up that there's a concern. Some people, you know, question the numbers. I'm not saying I do or I don't, but that's something that's been brought up. So it is a problem not only here in the city, but in the county.
Yeah, it's and, you know, it's nationally, too.
I mean,
it's a problem everywhere. It's actually kind of funny. Outside of things, I do a lot with community feeds and things of that nature out in the public, separate from council, and even reaching out to major cities. Like when we had the wildfires out in LA, there I reached out and they said contact one of the food banks and maybe you could go there to volunteer. There were 600 of them in LA. So I mean, it's amazing to hear that there's such a need for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously population, but you know, we have there is need all across this country. And there are programs that already exist. We just have to work with them to continue to build that relationship.
And one of the things, and you know, get so much talk, and it's so difficult, you know, to deal with it, all the communities are, is the blight situation.
Yes.
And Pottsville's got its blight, too. And, you know, everybody's building is the most important one to get torn down.
Right.
So that's an issue that's not only here, but again, as you said, county and all around.
Yep, and that's also important to talk about, too, and I'm glad mm-hmm. you brought it up, because blight is definitely one of the top topics of the list right now. As soon as our city administrator was brought on this year, we already started talking about it. He already started building us a relationship back with the county land bank. which he's had great success with over in Minersville, as well as bringing back to the table those relationships that we've, I wouldn't want to say lost our way, but maybe just never really entertained as much as we should have. And, you know, we need to hold people accountable that have these buildings. Too many times we're letting people come from the outside area, come in, obtain a property, take it over, and do nothing with it. They're putting liens against it in other places. They're doing different things with it that, you know, is hurting our community because now we're stuck with the problem.
Right.
So no matter what that way is, conservatorship or through the land bank or whatever, we need to start taking these buildings. And a perfect example would be up on Ray Street. Ray Street, we were just up there. We have a huge project going on up there right now, completely changing all the infrastructure under the road with the water and sewer line replacement. The road's getting paved from curb to curb as a part of federal funding for that. So that's great. But we had this playground up there that, you know, by no means was in any kind of shape, but we were waiting for a conservatorship on a property.
Right.
We reached out to the landlord directly. He was willing to negotiate something with us, and hopefully soon enough we'll have that property obtained without a conservatorship, saving us costs and being able to start that playground project in the very near future. So those are the kind of things we need to work on, just simply getting out there, talking to people more, and getting a hold of these issues. And maybe we could resolve them without bringing a lot back to the table.
Right. Well, the red tape, and I know I went through this. We were talking a little bit off the air when I was on council. We actually had one property we tracked down. The owner was in China.
Yeah.
And you're like, China.
Right.
I mean, you can't even make that stuff up.
Right.
So, I mean, that part of it definitely is hard. How about business? People talk about they want to bring, you know, more business back here in the city. What are your thoughts on that? Or how do you see moving forward with that?
Yeah. Again, you know, I'm a big proponent of what our Pottsville Business Association is doing. These events they are creating and doing downtown are great. Driving people in, the Schuylkill Walk Guide, bringing people into museum places like Jerry's. You know, to the small businesses that already exist, you know, it is fantastic. What we need to do is promote different kinds of businesses to come our area. Obviously, another smoke shop is not one of them that we want in our downtown. Obviously, you know, we don't need to put in just another restaurant that is the same as everybody else is doing. We need some diversity there, and I think that's important for these places like PATCO and PBA to recognize and to work with these people and to try to drive for the differences that can maybe have us stand out a little more. We have a great opportunity with Yingling and the amount of tourism that comes in our area. We just need to hold people here a little longer. The Rosalia Hotel, okay. Huge part of that, holding people to stay now overnight rather than just come in and leave is a great opportunity, more opportunity for places to stay, serve breakfast and things of that nature, you know, and a walking around community is what we're looking for.
Exactly. We had some folks in yesterday from Haven talking about the growth and the different things they have going on, you know, yeah. Right now. You like to see Potts will be able to, you know, replicate some of that stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, it just got brought us to us recently. I'm a big proponent, and the reason this area has always been so great in the past is because of the community involvement. I feel even nationally we've kind of lost our way with that community involvement. We're too divided. Mm-hmm. And that's not even talking just politics. It's just in general. It seems like we're very divided. So I'd like to see for Pottsville to remember that where we came from in that area, that a community built this city, a hardworking one. And, you know, there's still people there that are looking to invest their time for nothing to do that. And, you know, to bring something like an ambassador program for our downtown or something that we can have people take ownership to our city and greet people from out of town and be like, hey, can you check out this place? And can you go here? Be able to write quality of life tickets and things to help with our blight and point people in the right direction. That's how we move our city forward. You know, we could do it. We just have to do it together.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we wanted to talk about, and you know, you get this countless times. It gets written about. It gets brought up at the council meetings, and of course, you were there at the time it happens. And we'll give you your chance to talk about it.
Sure.
The whole Chris and the grant situation. If you can, take us through that, and if you can, explain that situation and what happened there.
Sure. Just like many times of anything, you know, it's the responsibility of people at City Hall that are day-to-day, like a city administrator or so on, to have, you know, things about grants come in and, you know, to be able to talk with through counsel with, hey, we're applying for this, we're going for this, we're going to be looking into these things, we're talking to, you know, Senator Argel's office and so on about these things. The opportunity for Chris came up and it was a little more nonchalant than it I believe it should have been. It was, hey, we're vying for this. It seemed like it was under control. I believe, in my opinion, we did not work with outside businesses enough, like PACO and things that were offering help at the time. But the bottom line is, it's in the past, and we have to learn from that. So how do we learn from that? We accept the fact that, yes, it was an opportunity that we had for our area, but we also don't have to be defeated because of it. We could say, okay, now next time we need to make sure we're putting the right people at the table with us. We are setting up a Chris authority that it ever came back around again. We can have it ready to go, make adjustments, and learn from it. We have a couple big grants that are coming into the city that we've already applied for, a multi-mogul grant that's helping with around the area of Yingling. We have an LSA coming up in September. These are things that we need to focus on now. I would love to say that I wish I could wave a wand and bring back the opportunity of the Chris, but unfortunately it's gone. And will it come back? Who knows? And if we did, we're going to be ready. You know, yes, we could rely on Tamaqua to say, look at Tamaqua. Look at the, you know, they brought in all this revenue because of the Chris. It also comes from new business taxes. It comes from a tax relief. There has to be that instituted in there. We need to realize that Tamaqua was the brainchild for the Chris, that a lot of attention got brought to it. So that may not have been the same way for us. So we can't compare ourselves to anything else. You know, we talk about, oh, it could have helped with our downtown flooding, or it could have helped with this. You know, the Reading got the Chris, they just flooded recently. I mean, we can't say it's going to solve one thing and that is all we have to focus on. No doubt, sir, I can't deny that it was a dropped opportunity, but we have to move on from it. We have to
learn from it.
We have to, there's no other choice from it. And I'm not denying it. I mean, and you know, maybe it was complacency on my part to not have looked at it more myself, but it was being handled at that time. And I do believe a hard work went into it at the city employee level to promote it. And I think they did. I just think it was, you know, maybe not as a guarantee as they maybe thought it could have been.
Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about, because we've had some folks on, because a lot of folks, you know, come on, the businesses here in our area, and we have features. Farm Store is one of them, and just a lot of them that have come through here, you know, from time to time. And they bring up the business privilege tax. Now, what are your thoughts on that? Because a lot of people aren't happy with that. What are your thoughts, and what can you do, say, well, as far as something like that goes?
And, you know, I think the reason, just like anything with taxes, right, we could talk about the citizens of Pottsville and say, hey, what do you feel about your taxes you pay? And I guarantee someone's going to say to me, why are my roads crap? You know, and they're right. I mean, we don't have a lot of money to spend based on the tax income we can, and it's very tight budget. I think business owners look at the business privilege tax and go, what do I get from that? What am I getting for that money that I'm giving the city? Now, business privilege tax for some people may be as simple as $35. You know, other people may be like a Roma or someone like that may be investing thousands of dollars a year. We have to calculate, what are they getting out of that? That's where something like, and I'm not saying this is anything council is doing right this second, but something like an ambassador program where we can take business privilege money, put it directly back on the streets again, have it promote something like that, that we're keeping downtown fresh, moving forward, building up on the planters that are outside, making sure that we have good garbage cans out, that they're not dented or trashed up. And people come to this town, they're like, wow, look at the downtown. You know, taking some of these blighted properties, putting some of that tax towards it to maybe put small greenway parks in or sitting areas, things of that nature. And then being able to monitor them by something like that to account for homelessness and things of that nature and say, hey, let's not have people sleep on the benches at night. And we could point them in the direction of people that, you know, like the SMA or SCA that, you know, can help them. And you know, this is what we need to do with that money. Just to say, hey, we need to collect it because we need it for our taxes is important. But we also need to prove what we're doing with it. And I think transparency and telling people and sitting down with people and saying, this is what we're doing with your money. Mm-hmm. Even though it's listed as line item A, this is what that means to you. this is what it's going towards. This is going to our hardworking city guys who are painting the lines downtown at 3 a.m. to make sure that our crosswalks are set up. This is to the street sweeper that goes by every day and takes care of our road. This is for the guys plowing. You know, we don't look at those things. We look at what am I getting out of it? And I think by not only crediting a little bit of that money and saying, hey, it's directly going to the businesses in some way, but also taking a little bit of that and going, okay, but also it's for these things, and that's important too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the transparency part comes in.
People want transparency. They do, because like you said, you know, they figure it's their money, their taxes, what have you. What's it going for? I mean, they want to know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we oftentimes lose ourselves because you're so wrapped up doing it. We're in it. We're in the front lines every day. So it's easy for us to say, yeah, it makes sense what we spend our money on. Mm-hmm. But to the everyday taxpayer, they don't understand these things. Right. And it's not because they're not smart or they can't. It's just they're undereducated on it. We need to do a better job 100% with our website, getting information out there, getting people to have it at their fingertips. It would slow down a lot of, tag time in or lag time in the offices, like for right to knows and things, because information could be presented right away that people could just look up and say, oh, okay, that makes sense now. But also to know that pretty much everybody that's on council now, and even Bill Macias as our mayor and our city administrator's office, is very good about anybody that wants to come forward and sit down with a meeting has been granted so. Mm-hmm. And we're able to stop by and talk to you and so on. And that has nothing to do with a campaign. That has everything to do with us wanting that drive more because we recognize it's something that the city would like.
Well, I think you've made some great strides as far as, you know, the transparency part of it goes. Posting the meetings up on Facebook, people can, don't necessarily have to get right, to the building itself. They can watch and still find out what's going on. We get a lot of response because we carry it the next morning for people that might not have been able to get there in the evening and watch it.
Yeah.
So we rerun it again. Taking out a lot of the paper shuffling and all that, try to compact if it goes along. But other than that, that's the only editing we do. But so that's a big part of it. Because, people want transparency. Like, if they kind of smell a rat or think something's being hidden from them or whatever, then that is not a good thing.
And it's understandable.
Right.
It really is. And nobody holds anybody to fault. There, sometimes there's just not enough hours in a day to get to every question or every concern and be able to explain it effectively. But by no means does anybody I know that sits on council currently or is moving forward in this election process want to ever cut out transparency, because it's something that makes our job easier.
Yeah.
The more transparent we are, it's the less we have to get stopped and asked about because people have an understanding of it. Yep. And that was also – sorry.
No,
that was also one of the reasons why I did a town hall at Avernia. It was very off the cuff and very laid back, and it – allowed
talk,
people
talk
to,
a little bit about that because I did see that. Like, what were you expecting to get out of that? And what did you feel you got out of that?
So we actually the whole premise of that was something that I wanted to bring when I first got on council. I thought it was good because so many people come to a council meeting and we really it's not written in stone from what I understand, but there is a time limit to people coming up for public comment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to keep the meeting moving. And a lot of times people have multiple questions when they come up there. They feel like, okay, this is my moment. I have 10 things I need to address with you.
Yep.
We want to be able to say, okay, well, why don't you come meet us out? We'll sit in a room and we'll just have a discussion. So I brought some topics with that I felt came up a lot. Who worked in City Hall? What departments? Unfortunately, I had a terrible time with the PowerPoint when I was down there. Of course, it's my luck. But, so it didn't go as smoothly as I thought with that. But afterwards, I stood back and talked to every person that came one-on-one. And I think it meant a lot to those people that took an hour of their night to come down there and to have a conversation. That's the important part. So I think I'm going to strive to do that more often up to through the election season and into the winter. But we're also going to be able to start talking about different areas. And the next one, I already spoke to Councilman Wood, who is in charge of Parks and Public Property. And the Parks Department would like to do one and talk about volunteering for the parks. He has a lot of people come forward and say, hey, I want to do a park cleanup day. I want to, my kid plays in this area. This means a lot to me. Can I get some resources and things to do some things? Can I put in some butterfly bushes? Can I do these? And we're all about that. That's community ownership, and that's great. That's a positive thing for our city. So I think he wants to set something up, and I'm hoping sometime in September we'll do that so people could yet again come. And it's not just about making complaints. It maybe be about, hey, I have this idea. Mm-hmm. And we all have to work together on these things. You know, we are by no means the most important thing to take away from all this is we do not have to agree on everything. We do not have to see eye to eye. And we do not certainly have to sit at the same table, but we all have to eat. Right. And at the end of the day, that is the important thing to take away from all of this, is that we want to see that for everybody, have that equal ownership into our city.
Exactly. Now, one of the things I just wanted to boomerang back, because I forgot when we were on that topic, but
sure.
About the blight. You guys still have the list? Like, I thought that top 10 list that was a while back was great because it brought attention to things. So
again, we lost a lot in a couple key departments. One is code enforcement. We lost some employees, unfortunately, one due to an illness, another one then that had a result in a retirement. Another one resulted in somebody taking a different job. You know, that put a hurt on our department. We're hiring currently for that position.
And why is that hard? When I was on council, that was one of the hardest things, because like you said, we just couldn't manage to keep a code enforcement guy.
You know,
you have said it. I know other communities are dealing with this.
I hate to say it, you know, and the people at City Hall and that work for our city and people like that in those departments, they're underpaid. It is not, you know, $40,000 to $50,000, you take that same job and put it in outside areas, even like Upper Bucks and areas like that, that's a $100,000 job.
Yep.
You know, because it comes along with super high-end, certifications and things that they have to be responsible for.
Right.
We're asking them to keep us safe
right.
from our neighbors' houses and things and oversee projects that our deck doesn't fall off and kill somebody.
Right.
So we want them to be the most professional people. And unfortunately, there's only so much money at the end of the day to pay these positions. So it's tough to gain these professionals. And we're lucky to have a lot of the people we do and working in our tax office, at our city clerk's office, the front desk at City Hall, everybody, our street workers, we would love to pay them more money because they've earned it.
Sure.
They work hard for our city. So to answer that question, it's tough to hire for that based on that. The second part is not a lot of people are out there with those certifications too.
Yeah.
And it's tough to say, hey, move into our area from way outside where you may live because you already obtained those. So we either need to invest somebody into training, which
right.
we've done currently right now. Therese is one of our code enforcement officers. She's done great. But she started out from, the bottom and got her certs and worked her way up. So it takes time. It's a grace period. And we fall behind because of it, because the city keeps moving forward.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that would drive me crazy is I don't care whether you're talking a small community like Shenandoah or a larger community like Pottsville. That's got to be a full-time job. I'm sorry. They do impart it. Because blight is such a big issue no matter where you go in our area that I just cannot see. No matter how great a person you are, how knowledgeable you are, it just the time and the day is just,
It is. And to touch on where you asked that question and to circle back for why I set that up the way I did was that now because of our code enforcement office being so understaffed, we now need to revisit a lot of these blighted properties. And because of that, we didn't want to set up the blight task force again and bring that back to the table at this last meeting, because even if we came back with all this information, we have to process it somehow. So we're talking about with our city administrator about bringing in a third party to help with quality of life tickets in the interim, as well as hiring somebody hopefully by the next council meeting in hopes, if we get some applicants in there, to start getting some relief to our code office. And it's an important part of that because I could bring back and be like, here's the list, here's our top 10, now what?
Right.
And we have to do that. So I have a little experience in that area with, I have my home inspection license. I also have been a longtime contractor, had a lot of experience with hands-on learning and things to do with construction. So I like to help with that where we can. So as soon as we're able to, I'm going to take a hold of that task force and we're going to move forward with it to try to bring some relief to our city.
Yeah. I mean, that is, you hear so many people talk about that, as I said, in the different communities, the importance of that. And yet at the same time, like you said, trying to find somebody with those qualifications or, as you said, take the time to train them to get them up to you know, snuff or code, no pun intended. But
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No, it's not.
So how about the parking authority? I know that's a whole different entity.
Man,
that's
I thought we only had an hour.
No, you're doing great. Our guest is Andy Woolyoung, councilman in the city of Pottsville, running for mayor. Hey, we're past the halfway point. You're doing great, but I know that's a separate entity and all, but there was a lot of issues there. I know some small businesses that, you know, were complaining about things. Yeah. Now, I think they got that taken care of, but, you know, again, it's about optics.
It is.
In my book.
And again, it's another way that we need to be able to, one, people can feel okay to come forward with issues, but they also can feel to come forward with a lot of, okay, let me put it this way. The biggest complaint I get is putting right people on the boards. How come you don't have the highest level of experts on these boards?
Yep.
As you know from sitting on council, how about this one? Where's our letters at of people that are experts in those fields? A lot of the same people come forward and volunteer for these boards because there's no one else to do them. A lot of the same people serve on multiple boards because of that. And in the past, we'd love to get away from that. Mm-hmm. I don't want any part of that because when one guy quits, he quits three things.
Yep.
And, you know, it makes it difficult. And now we're doing a lot of replacement. And on paper, it looks like favoritism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not the case. In my experience, it's not the case. I can't speak of past practices, but in my case on council, it's because people we know and trust that can come to us and work with us are the ones we're putting on. So when we see that, we obviously want to adjust it. When we see it, we want to pivot. But the parking authority, I ask that any business owner that's downtown that has a stake in the game of parking, come send your letter of interest in. We'll put you on the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll get you in there at the next opening and we'll have you a part of the process and we'll have you be that you can weigh in. If not, don't just come to the meeting. Speak out about your concerns. Right. If you feel you can't get through to them, come to us and educate us because we also don't know your pain. I do not want to pretend like I understand the small business in town. I own a small business in Pottsville. I've worked for a family business for many years that is right at 5th and Arch Street in Pottsville. You know, longtime servants of the city. However, I cannot pretend I understand what it's like for my customers to come on street parking and park for my business. I don't know that because mm-hmm. that wasn't what we did. We went to people's homes. I don't want to pretend like I know more than, say, the Drazis clothing shop or Roma Pizza or, you know, down here at the radio station or people that work in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a hard time saying that the average pay in the city is less than $15 an hour for most of workers, but they have to pay a parking bill each month. We just need to explain why we need to do those things. On the other side, in the city side, and to defend the parking authority a little bit, we also have a responsibility. Paid parking keeps parking moving downtown. We don't have vehicles that are left there all day long at night because we could do something about them immediately. It keeps businesses moving forward in frontices and in front of their businesses to keep flow there. And then on top of it, you know, we do have a hefty bill with the parking garage that we built up on Wakatunga Street.
Yeah.
But I think it's also to have an understanding of everybody doesn't have to be heightened all the time. And that's what happens. Everybody's angry.
Yeah.
The parking authority's angry because everybody comes to them and complains. Those parking guys, God bless them, their job is to give people a ticket every day. Who's going to love them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're not handing out candy
in between.
They're a good
point, Andy.
Right, yeah. You know, so, you know, God bless them, you know, to do that job. That they are not the favorites. People see those shirts come up. It's not because they're going to shake their hand and be like, hey, great job parking your car. You know, they're there to issue and enforce something. It's not popular, you know.
No.
So we have to look at that and also give them a break, too. You know, realize that we're all human beings here and we could treat ourselves accordingly. And if you have a legitimate concern, I want it heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always a different way to look at anything.
Sure. And, you know, to go back on a positive, though, and talk about business and you know, trying to bring business back here in the city of Pottsville. One of the things that I am so I psyched up about, lack of a better term, is the farm store.
Yeah.
And how that whole situation came about with that program, and they applied for it, got the money, and they're young. I mean, they have a regular feature on the first Friday of the month. Yep. They come in and talk about things. And I think that's a great success story, and I think I'd like to see more of that here in the city because they're flourishing right now.
Yeah.
Down there.
Yeah, and there's two ways to look at this. There's the one way where is to say that is a process where the Chamber of or the Schuylkill Chamber has come into play massively. We have the PACO that has come in with low interest loans and things to assist and push money their direction. We have state funding that they've received to have that business. All these things had to come together, and we love that they've not only taken over a building that was empty for a long time, but put a viable business in, created in a space that people could get food in an area that we cannot get food because there's no more Giant downtown.
Right.
And, you know, be able to do that is fantastic. What we do have to realize, too, there's another side to this coin. And this kind of goes back with what I was kind of saying on the other side of Chris. We cannot rely all the time on government funding to pay our bills.
That's for sure.
It's why our taxes went up. In the past, we had a lot. COVID money, state money, things. We really didn't have to apply for a lot because it was always there. And then one day it went boop and went away. And now we are like, uh-oh, what are we going to do? So there are things that we have to now look at, say, look at the big hand of you know, our father, the country, is not going to be there for us anymore. So we need to start relying on ourselves. And that is bringing young investors in our community. There's a gentleman named Braden Burns that has a couple properties in our downtown. They are the people that are going to be bringing in investments into this place, doing the hard work themselves, putting it in. They didn't receive any grant money. They didn't receive anything on the back end. They're just investing their time and money into a project and taking ownership for it. And that's important too. So as much as the farm store is a great example of how the PBA, the Commerce, the PACO is working to get buildings in and seek a need, we also need to look at, let's promote small business owners and small people to come in and say, you could do it without getting a huge loan, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Chopping Block is a great establishment.
Yep.
It's a wonderful place. They've also received a lot of help and a lot of taxpayer money to build up that building. So, you know, which is fantastic for them. It's great. I love it. However, we could also do things on our own as well. We just have to lift each other up.
Right. Now, one of the other things, and I touched on this when you first got here in the studio, and I want to bring it up only because there was the article written on the internet about this, and I know you're maybe limited to what you can say, but at the last meeting it came up about the police officer situation.
Yes.
And the way the article was written, some confusion, and as I said, we carried that meeting the following day, so you're in the barrel, as we like to say.
Yeah.
You're right there. If you can, and talk as much about it as you can, but take us through that and how you see that.
Well, unfortunately, for those that don't know, there are things that council can control and things that council can't control. We are the managers of different departments at different ends of things. But at the end of the day, there is only so many things we're allowed to vote on and not allowed to vote on. And the law and processes of unions and things of that nature force our hands to have to accept certain outcomes and to have to vie against them. We made a decision as council publicly that was actually split. Not everybody agreed on it as the vote went, of a situation that was presented to us based on the information. Everybody took it, absorbed it, and made their decision on their own. Right, wrong, or indifferent of how people feel about that, unfortunately, that's a part of what comes to council. One of the biggest things I could say to you, and we can laugh about this, and I'm a big guy making a joke, but no matter what we do in any situation, there's going to be somebody out there that says, well, that was wrong.
Sure. Oh,
and,
yes.
And no matter what we say, I could hand the Chris over tomorrow and ride a bicycle, tandem bicycle with all the Republicans through Market Square, and it'd still be wrong in some way.
Mm-hmm.
However, in this case, we had to make a very difficult decision based on the information that was provided for us by not only our solicitor, our chief of police, our city administrator, and that was the choice that council chose because that was what we were put in power to do. Now, how that shakes out and what comes out of it is going to be up to be the powers that be above our heads that we don't have control over. But how I voted, it was the right decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only speak for myself.
Right. And I will be honest, one of the frustrating things that I've found going back to my days on council, because you brought up solicitor, it made me think of that. We would go out and we'd have our little meeting beforehand, and then we'd get ready to go out, and he'd put his hand on the door. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, and then we didn't know, like, we're going to go out and do it, and he'd put that stop, but you can't do that now. And he would sit you down and go over how, like, he thought, legal-wise, you should go about it and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, you get gung-ho. We were very gung-ho, and then we learned an awful lot in the time that we were on. Sometimes your hands are just tied.
And that's an important thing to realize, that experience on council is important to step into a role such as mayor. Yep. I mean, even though I've only had 2 years of it, it is important to see the background and the processes of how it works and what we have to do beforehand and talk to and move forward with. That decision did not come lightly on anybody there, but you're absolutely right. A lot had to go in the background of it. And unfortunately, it's a touchy subject, and I would love to give you more information on it because I believe that the listeners would understand why we did what we did. However, I'm not going to do that for obvious reasons.
Right. And, sometimes things take in a different area, and I go back to my past experience. We went in with a game plan, and then we were thrust with a whole other situation about a bank going to foreclose on a $140,000 loan. So, like you said, all that went on the back burner to try and figure a way out of that. Yeah. And a lot of goes on in this that, people like behind the scenes that don't quite understand everything.
Yeah. And, somebody brought this to me during this campaign process, and man, it couldn't hit any more harder for us and be on point. We are a small city with big city problems. And that is the truth. The fact of the matter is we have to have faith in the process. We have to talk to each other. We have to treat each other like human beings and know that at the end of the day, we have to come together for the success of Pottsville because it was built on hard work. And unfortunately, we can't accept handouts and say, that's it. It's going to solve everything because at somewhere, no matter what you do, someone's going to suffer. A former councilman came to me that served many years ago, actually in the public safety role, and he had one of the best lines. He said, everybody wants change until change happens. Then they wonder why you changed it.
Yes.
And it's so true.
That is.
We could have voted 12 different ways on that topic, and we would have somehow, some way, someone could have pinned it wrong. And being an outsider, it's very easy to judge what happens in your city.
Sure.
I could complain about anything on the outside. You talk about sports, you talk about football, you talk about, our downtown, Discovery Park, the parking, anything. We could judge on all of it all day long until we're blue in the face. Yep. It's why you have a radio show.
Yeah.
But the reality is there are realities of what we have to do and make decisions on, and they're tough. And we try to keep Pottsville in mind with every one of those.
Andy Woljung is our guest in studio on the Pottsville City Council. He's running for mayor here in the city. So, besides the council meetings, you get out and about a lot. What are people saying? So, like, what are you taking into consideration if it should happen to win and become mayor? Like, I don't want to say because I hate that layup, but on day one, what are you going to do? I try to avoid that, but what would be some of the things that you want to really hit the ground running on, I guess?
We need to promote the things that we felt we do for our area. One of being would be our street department. We need to recognize what those guys do. We have the most talented group of people here. I want to see our street department turn into what we call a Department of Public Works, where they are able to not only we look at them as a street department and say, hey, why are our roads bad? We have a street department. We pay that for that. These guys are tied up with a million other projects that we're doing. We're taking care of city buildings. We're taking care of issues. Blight is falling off blighted buildings. We're hanging banners for people. We're taking care of City Hall. We're changing light fixtures. We're installing cameras. We're working with police, taking over footage. We're doing the pool. We're doing the parks. All these things we're balancing with a limited crew, and they're doing a great job. I mean, they just did a project down here at Progress Avenue where the arch collapsed a little bit again.
Yeah.
Those guys all handle it in-house, did great. We were able to use a private contractor up on Hillside Road, and we kept the city moving because of it. So all of those things are important to keep and remember that when it comes to that street department, we need to say, okay, it's not just about the streets. It's about Department of Public Works. We need to get that doing and giving back to the city. So maybe we could take a property, rehab it, and get something back from it. We can prevent private contractors from having high bills. If we privatize our plowing for the city, it'd be outrageous. If we privatize our sewer authority, it would be outrageous because we would end up paying just like we do to the water company and be at their mercy of a private company. It's important to know what we have in-house, recognize that, and lift them up and be able to, move them in the correct direction. I think that's day one. I think if you were to say, what do I need to focus on? It's the street department and the fire department and getting them back on track again by recognizing what they're able to actually do and what a fantastic service they provide our city.
Indeed. So now, folks out there that are listening in and like what they hear, Andy, do you have like a website, a Facebook page, something like that, where they can get more information?
Yep. So I have a Wall Young for Mayor Facebook page. We do posts and events. We do have an event coming up. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to plug it on here or not. Okay. So September 13th at Yuengling Mansion, we're going to have an event coming up. Zenith is going to be playing. We're going to be out. It's going to be a great night. It is going to be a fundraiser, but it's also an opportunity for people to come out. If you're interested in coming, we'll talk to you about getting you there, and we would love to have you.
Yeah, and I will say this, Andy, because I know I've been on both ends of this, as I said. Whether I agree, disagree with the politics, I respect people that are in politics right now, whether it's on the borough council level, school board level, state or county level, because, man, like you said, you're never 100% right. Somebody's always going to find fault.
Yep, and it's a thankless job for sure, but I'm not the only one in it. There's a lot of other people out here. You know, I'm on the spotlight because I'm running for mayor, but, you know, there's a lot of people behind the scenes and a lot of hardworking people for our city. And I think that's where you wear your heart on the sleeve is when people tear you down publicly, they're tearing down our hardworking employees that work for us. And, you know, that's something to keep in mind. But we're all open to talk. I'm more than willing to meet with any citizen and have their concerns. May not always have the solution they want, but we're always there to hear them.
You know what I always thought was great? I'll say this shamelessly. It might be different for you guys. But, man, when I was on council, Produce Island Redners, man, somebody ran into always said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? It was I loved it, man.
My famous line with my wife, and God bless her, you know, I give a shout-out to my wife and my two kids at home, Addie and Ryan, for supporting me through all this and council. The amount of time I take away from family time, just because running for milk may be an hour.
And
you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Or even just, going for a coffee in the morning and you run into somebody. Hey, I got the, and it is important to address, and we miss that because it's not live streamed. Right.
Yeah.
And that's nothing against the public. I just want to have that better understanding for people to know that we are always working for them. Yeah. In one way or another.
And I'm so glad because we often talk, I know, on Joe Thurz's Small Business Show, behind every good man is a better woman. We can talk about you got to have your wife, you got to have your family supporting you behind such an endeavor because, as you said, it asks an awful lot and, sometimes takes away from the family. So they've got to be on board with this every bit as much as you are. And your wife and your family obviously is, and that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, it is. And God bless her for dealing with politics for sure, especially in this day and age. But, Tom Wood, Mike Weir on the ticket with me for city council, myself, Andy Walyoung, as mayor. You know, we're working for Pottsville. Pottsville was built on hard work. All of my relatives, from my great-grandfather who was the chief of police of this city to my grandfather that was a business owner for his entire career in this city, volunteer firemen, everything that comes behind it. Giving back to our community is what built it. We need to recognize that again and build each other up and do it together. And I know we can, Pottsville. So hang in there.
Absolutely. Andy, I want to thank you for spending some time out of your busy day to speak with our WPPA listeners. And sure, we'll probably talk with you again down the road, my friend, as things get closer and things heat up, as they say.
Yes.
So we appreciate everything you do. And thank you so much, my friend, and best of luck.
Thank you for your time.
Andy Walyoung, our guest in studio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one on this Friday morning. Stay with us.